time together yesterday. And Jack just, in passing, mentioned that special anniversary, but I'm going to build on it just a little. There's so many couples in our world today that don't make it to 6 years, much less 65. So congratulations. You are an example to us of faithfulness to God and to each other. We appreciate you. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share with you, if we can change the slide, please. I guess I can change it too, can't I? There we go. Our ministry fair is coming next week, the 25th of March, and this morning I'd like to share with you another lesson getting ready for that ministry fair upcoming. And since Vallejo used to be a Navy town, I've got a little Navy illustration for you today. What's the difference between a naval ship and a cruise ship? If you don't know, there's a naval recruiter that'd like your signature. I think most of you know the differences, and you could probably come up with 100 differences between the naval ship and a cruise ship, couldn't you? The food's different, the berthing's different, the color of the ship is different, but there's something that strikes me. The cruise ship is there for your pleasure. The naval ship is there on a mission. How many crew members are on... Oh, excuse me, I said that wrong. How many passengers are on the naval ship? Nobody. Everybody's on the crew, right? There are lots of passengers on the cruise ship, but on the Navy ship, everybody's got a job to do. Everybody's in the crew. So my question to you is this. Is the church more like a cruise ship, or is it more like a battleship, a naval ship? I've got a bad screen up here. It's not working. I'm going to try to do my best with the slides. I may not make it. So is the church more like a cruise ship or is it a battleship? Some folks have mistaken the church as a cruise ship. You know, they expect to be waited on and pampered, and the line for the facial starts in the foyer, and the line for the buffet starts in the fellowship hall. But you know, in reality, the church is not a cruise ship. We are on a mission for God, and we're all part of that crew, and we're all part of those serving on board that ship. We're all crew members. We're on a mission. Nobody's just along for the ride. We're not on a joy ride. We're on a mission for Jesus. We're part of the Lord's Navy. I'd like to reread the passage that Stephen read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. It was he, that is the Lord, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God gave gifts to Christians. Each person has been spiritually gifted in different ways, unique ways. But the purpose of those gifts is to build up the body of Christ. Amen? The purpose of those gifts is not just for our pleasure. The purpose of those spiritual gifts, or talents if you prefer that word, are for the betterment of each other in our faith in Christ. And sometimes we've forgotten that. You see, we serve a great commander. With the Lord's help, we're all on board to serve. There are no passengers on board the ship of the Lord's church. We're all part of the crew. But so often we forget that. In a typical congregation, less than 20% of the members are doing over 80% of the work of the church. Can I say that one more time? In a typical congregation, 20% of the members are doing about 80% of the work of the church. Brothers and sisters, that isn't right. That's just not fitting. That's just not proper. We've all been called to be servants in the Lord's kingdom. We have different ways to serve. Not everybody has the same task. And I'm glad not everyone's a preacher. Because if everyone's a preacher, I'd have about 30 seconds up here. And it'd be somebody else's turn. The fact of the matter is, we've all been called to serve. There are no passengers on a Navy ship, and there are no passengers in the Lord's kingdom. We're all called to serve in different ways. And by the way, warming a pew is not a rate in the Lord's Navy, is it? I'd like to share with you reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit, and though it's made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, where Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. And dropping down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Have you noticed the body of Christ, the church, is not a machine? It's recognized in Scripture as being organic. It's a body. It's organic. It's not mechanical. God did not create us as little Christian robots, did He? With the gears moving and, you know, the electrodes. He didn't do that. He created us as personal beings and put us in a body. There's an organic nature to the Lord's plan. The ear is not just out for itself. The heart is not just out for itself. The legs are not just out for themselves. We work together for the purpose of the body as a whole and to bring glory to God. And that means the church of the body parts are interdependent. We're not going to read all of this text, but you're very familiar with it. Verse 14, I'll begin. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Now let's just allow Paul to be a little bit funny here, can we? I think he's really being funny. If the whole body is an eye, how in the world are you going to hear? Now, you know, I'm 6'1". So imagine my whole body is one giant 6'1" eyeball. And I come rolling down the aisle this morning. Now I'm really good at seeing, but I can't speak a word. And I have no hands, so I can't do anything. So Paul is saying God has placed us in the body of Christ where we have different gifts, different abilities. He didn't just make us all the same. The body of Christ needs different aspects of service. And this morning in our Bible class for the adults, you had an opportunity to share in a spiritual gift analysis to find out where your strengths and your weak areas are in areas of service. Brothers and sisters, the body of Christ is interdependent. We need each other. The parts that are weaker seem to be indispensable, Scripture says in verse 22 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. All you got to do to find out this truth is sometimes stub your little toe. Now, how do you walk after you stub your toe? Not very well, right? That very small part of the body actually has a big part in keeping your body balanced as you walk. In a similar way as the body of Christ, the parts of the body that we think, well, those, you know, brother or sister McGillicuddy over there, they're not that important in the body of Christ. Paul says, this they are. They may be the little toe, but they got a place to play. So you may feel like you are the little toe in the body of Christ, but you've got a job to do. God puts us together with the body of Christ. We need each other's talents. We need each other. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. The purpose of the body of Christ is to prepare God's people for works of service. We found in Ephesians chapter 4. And even with 3 elders and 6 deacons and 1 minister, we 10 don't do it all. Never could. Never will. It takes us all working together in the body. The one in charge of the building maintenance should not be the only one to mow the lawn and change the light bulbs. The one in charge of the AV should not be the only one to run the AV. The one in charge of publicity doesn't need to do all the publicity. But they train others and bring others in and allow them to serve and grow in their areas of responsibility. Leaders are to prepare God's people for works of service, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So on Sunday the 25th, next Sunday, we're going to have a ministry fair. A ministry fair is an opportunity to find out what's going on in this church. You see, the church is a lot like an iceberg. 90% is below the waterline. You don't see 90% of what goes on in a congregation. You come into worship or Bible class Sunday morning, and you see the top 10% of the iceberg, and there's 90% below. Well, we want you to see a little bit of what's below the waterline next week. We want you to see what ministries are going on in the body of Christ that you may not even be aware of in this congregation. So you're going to learn something next Sunday in the ministry fair. But number two, we want you to find something to do, something to be involved in, something that meets your passions and gifts where you can plug in and serve, because we all need to have a place in serving in the body of Christ. Nobody can do everything, but everyone can do something. And my dream is that every member of the congregation finds at least one place to serve, one place to plug in. It's the one way to serve. Now, don't be like this one person who came up to the elder, and this man had just placed membership, and the elder was interviewing him a little bit, getting to know him a little bit, and seeing how they could plug him into the body, and he said, "Well, Brother McGillicuddy, what's your talent? How do you like to serve God? How do you serve God in other congregations? We'd like to plug you into the body of Christ here." By the way, that's one reason our elders get together with people before they place membership, is to get to know them, find their talents. How do you plug them in? Now, this new member said, "Well, brother, I'm a one-talent man." "Oh, okay, that's all right. What's your one talent?" He said, "My one talent is criticism." And the elder smiled wryly and said, "You remember what the brother did in the Bible who had only one talent? Well, he buried it. I suggest you go and do likewise." So there are sometimes we have talents and abilities we do not need to exercise. But most of the time we do need to exercise those talents and abilities. Maybe you've heard the story about four church members named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Now, those are interesting names. It was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. And anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. And somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. In the end, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. We don't want to be that kind of church. Amen? We want to work together. We want to fill in the holes and do what we can to serve. And at the ministry fair, you're going to have a chance to be somebody, because you've got a place to serve. We just want to help you find that. And that's what the ministry fair is about. But it's more than about just getting a job done. You know, when you're in the Navy and you go out on a cruise, and a Navy cruise is different than the cruise on, you know, Princess Cruises and Holland America and all that. When you go out on a Navy cruise, you've got a job to do. You've got a mission to do. And as I mentioned, we are on the Lord's Navy. We've got a job to do. But there's some benefits of being an active member of the crew. The first is we enjoy teamwork. We do not serve alone. Amen? We serve as part of the body. We're connected to others. Other people have talents that we can use and enjoy in the body of Christ. You know what teamwork means? Team, together, everyone accomplishes more. When we work together, there's a synergy. We do more together than we can alone. When you serve on a ship and that ship accomplishes its mission, you come home tired and fulfilled. And the same is true of the Lord's body. You serve in the Lord's kingdom. You may be tired afterwards physically, maybe even some emotionally. But you find a fulfillment, and you rest up, and you go back, and you do it again. Because as a team, we have accomplished something of value. And this leads to a sense of belonging. The men who sail together in the Navy and serve together belong together. Have you ever noticed that? There are people who have been in the Navy on board ships. They have ship reunions. Even after the guys have retired, they go back and visit their old sea buddies. 10-year reunion, 15-year reunion, 20-year reunion, 30-year reunion. And they visit each other and they love each other because they've become a family by working together. And the Lord's body is that family of God that becomes a camaraderie of working together. There are two things that glue a person to a church. One is relationships, friendships, and the other is a meaningful task. And we want to bring those together. We believe when you're serving in relationships with others, working together, you're going to develop those relationships. The story's told about a preacher who moved to a new community. Every time he went into a new congregation, he said, "We need to put a new roof on the worship center." Every time. First thing he did, "We need to put a new roof on the worship center." And someone asked him, "Well, what's wrong? Why do the church buildings always have bad roofs?" He said, "Well, they don't always have to have bad roofs, but the men need to work together. The men need to hammer on some nails together on those shingles. They need to know what it is to involve in each other and help each other and grow together in service." You see, there's an advantage of working together, a sense of belonging that comes with a meaningful task serving together. Don't settle for less than involvement in ministry. Thirdly, you'll grow when you serve. Spiritual growth comes for service. If you grow in the Navy, you develop your skills in the Navy, you're going to develop your skills in the Lord's kingdom as well. You will be stronger. And the serendipity of service is you always benefit from serving. When Paul wrote to Philemon, he said it this way in verse 6. "I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith, so you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." Did you know the teacher learns the most? The person who shares their faith benefits as well as the one they teach. When you serve, you grow. That's God's plan. And fourthly, we enjoy being an active member of the crew. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And I don't think he was just talking about money, was he? He's talking about being involved in service in the lives of others. So we want you to enjoy the benefits of Christian ministry. Everyone can't do everything, but everyone can do something. Make a prayer team. Write letters. Teach a class. Prepare communion. Lead in worship. Maintain our property. Reach out to newcomers. Serve in our children's Bible hour, or some are doing right now as I speak. Teach someone seeking Christ. Teach the teenagers. Participate in ladies' activities, men's ministry. Wash windows. Run the sound system. There's something for everybody in the Lord's kingdom. We find our niche and we fill it. And here's how the ministry fair will work. Display tables will be set up in the foyer, the wider halls, the back of the auditorium. And after a shortened worship service next week, we start as normal at 10:50 for worship. Worship service will last about 40, 45 minutes. I'm going to have about one-third of a sermon. Somebody's going to time me on it. No more than 8 minutes, okay? We're going to have a short sermon. We'll have a little less in the singing. We're going to have the communion just as regular and all that sort of thing. But what we want you to do after we dismiss from the service is take 30 minutes and go around to these various tables and discover what's going on in the body of Christ here and find something that you would like to plug in about. Maybe you don't know for sure next Sunday. Maybe you're just gathering information. And then you want to talk to others and pray about the areas that you want to be involved in. But talk to the men and the women at the tables and learn about the ministries. Find what meets your passion and meets your gift and come in on board and serve in some way. Put your toe in the water of Christian service. That's what I'm asking you to do. Afterwards, we'll enjoy the potluck. And by the way, when you go around to the ministry tables, pick up one of those lunch tickets there. We're just doing this for fun, but when you get to the lunch line at noon, or roughly at noon when people go through the line, the people with tickets get to go through first. So pick up your 5 tickets so you can be the head of the line and enjoy that lasagna before anybody else wipes it up clean, okay? There you go. I knew you needed a little motivation. It's this simple. We need to serve, and we need to serve together in the Lord's kingdom. We need to be about our Father's business, as Jesus was about his Father's business at age 12 when he was in the temple. We team up because together everyone accomplishes more. And the Lord has not called the church to be a cruise ship where we say, "Where are the facials given?" The Lord has called us to be the battleship, because there's a battle against evil in this world to be won by victory only through Jesus Christ. So we're on his mission, and we exist for his glory, and we're all members of his crew. If you have enlisted in the Lord's kingdom, if you put on the Lord in baptism, you're part of the Lord's crew, whether you recognize it or not. Don't go AWOL on him now. You got a job to do. I hope that you cannot wait until next Sunday to learn about what's being done and how you can fit in. Let's have fun next Sunday. We'll enjoy worshiping the Lord together, but we'll enjoy exploring what's being done in this church, and we'll enjoy the potluck to follow. And may God bless us as we grow as servants of His. We close with the Lord's invitation. Because if you've not yet enlisted in the Lord's service, today is going to be a day of salvation for you. We enlist in the Lord's service when we put our faith in Jesus, that we believe Him to be the Christ, the Son of God. We've read the Scripture. We know He did miracles. We see His wisdom. We see His glory. We repent of sin because we realize our own willfulness has gotten us in a lot of trouble, and we're going to make changes in our life and live Jesus' way instead of my way. Then we're baptized into Christ. Simple ceremony where we're immersed in water, but we rise to walk a new life with our sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus, indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and called to be a servant in His kingdom. Tonight, this morning, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, we want you to become a Christian. We want you to enlist in the Lord's service. We want you to be in Christ. Answer His call. Come forward, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into the Lord. Make today the day you enlist in the Lord's kingdom. Let's stand together. Let's sing.